Welcome back to Real Talk with Chuck and Pam, the podcast version. We have so many different versions. We're on TV on CBS 58, Racine and Me. We've got our written reviews in lots of different newspapers, as well as on our website, realtalkwithchuckandpam.com. So check that out. We don't get to everything every week on TV, but we do get to most everything on our website. You can also find us in Rotten Tomatoes. God, Chuck, we're everywhere.
You know what I've always said, and I know you don't like it, so I'm not going to say it, but yes, we are everywhere.
You can say whatever you want. This is a free form podcast.
Yeah, well, we're like dog poop on your shoe. We're everywhere.
There's one way to put it. So
exactly.
Let's start off. I'd love to start off with, I think one of the, I don't know, I don't think it's really been marketed that widely, but I think it probably should have been given the star power in it. And I'm talking about Zac Efron. And I think you liked Ricky Stenicki, which is premiering on premiering on Amazon Prime today. So why don't you take that one if that's okay?
You know, this is, I'm not ever ashamed about liking anything. You know, sure. I'm not that way. But, you know, Ricky Stenicki is definitely going to be a guilty pleasure. There's no doubt about it. And this is a movie where your mileage varies. Not everyone's going to like it. And, you know, Peter Farrelly, part of the Farrelly brothers with Bobby, they've never made movies that everyone likes. They do their own thing, whether it's, you know, Dumb and Dumber, There's Something About Mary, Stuck on You. I mean, they're always into material that people refer to as tasteless. And it is tasteless. And they embrace that. But you know, the thing that is often overlooked in the movies is that there's a heart there all the time. There's always a heart, and they're always very inclusive of people with disabilities, people who you wouldn't normally see in Hollywood movies. Bobby Farrelly made that film last year, Champions, with Woody Harrelson.
I loved that movie. I think that's an overlooked movie. If you haven't seen that, everyone listening, please check it out. Champions, starring Woody Harrelson.
Yeah, he has a team of, you know, kids with Down syndrome and other conditions. And yeah, I mean, they, you know, and people say, oh, well, you're making fun of them. Well,
not at all.
I don't think so. I mean, you know, these people act as they would, and it's just within the film. And some of it's funny, some of it's not. You know, Ricky Stenicki, though, I mean, if it weren't for John Cena, this movie would be a disaster. Ricky doesn't exist. Let's just say that. You got Zac Efron and his two buddies in a panic on Halloween evening. They have a prank. They end up setting some person's house on fire. They leave behind a jacket with a name that they come up with on the fly, Ricky Stenicki. The cops start looking for Ricky. Of course, he doesn't exist. And these three realize they have just stumbled upon an alibi gold mine. And throughout their teenage and even their young adult years, anytime they get in trouble, they blame it on Ricky. And of course, they get away with it. This goes wrong, though. They're much older, and they should know better. They come up with a plan that Ricky is in the hospital having cancer surgery. They need to go see him, but instead they go to Atlantic City for a concert. Their phones are turned off during the concert. They come out, and they realize that TJ's wife has given birth 6 weeks early. They rush back. They have no real explanation as to why they couldn't get in contact with. Where's Ricky? Shouldn't he be here? And they have to produce Ricky. Well, they've met this guy, John, played by John Cena, who is a down-and-out lounge singer who does the most hilariously inappropriate rock song parodies. Every song is about masturbation. And he dresses up as a member of Devo, and of course, Whip It is a perfect for that, Billy Idol, all these people. And he's looking for a gig. So they hire him to play Ricky, and they don't realize this guy is a method actor. He studies Ricky. He studies this book that they've come up with all the lies that they've made up, the Bible. Yeah, and he becomes Ricky. And he, you know, ingratiates their lives in a way that they did not anticipate. I don't want to give more away. But this is one of those things where it's a snowball and it's going downhill and it gathers speed in a way that they can't stop this guy. Cena, I'm telling you, I don't know what it is about wrestlers.
They're good actors. Such,
You're such good actors.
Well, I think you just answered your own question.
Why? What?
Well, isn't most of wrestling an act?
It is, but I mean, not to the point to where, I mean, he's never going to give, you know, De Niro a run for his money, but he does have some quiet moments here, just as we've seen Dwayne Johnson, quiet
Right.
moments that, you know, don't require the type of outlandish behavior that we see in wrestling. They're able to tap into other things as well. That's what surprises me. And he's fantastic. I mean, he's really, really good, and he's really funny. This guy obviously would try anything. You know, and that's the type of thing this movie needs. Like I say, this is not for all tastes. I get it, but I laughed more at this movie than I have in a long time. It's incredibly inappropriate. It's on Amazon. Even if you're not going to give it a shot, try it. It will probably exceed your low expectations.
All right, that's a fair enough
Except for Van
review.
Helsing.
I thought it dragged a little bit for me.
It's a little long.
I thought it got a little redundant, and so I watched it in two parts, part one and part two. And further on in the movie, I mean, at first it's like, oh, come on, really? A song's about masturbation? Do we have to go on and on and on about this? I personally didn't think that part was that funny. However, there was a reason for it, which was hilarious, the reason for it. I'm on the fence for this one, just because of the I didn't find the raunchiness. I thought it just went way overboard for me. And I'm okay with raunchy stuff, but this just went a little bit too far. But it did come back. They did do a callback, and there was a reason for it. You're right. Cena's really good. And you know, the rest of the actors, they were fine and they are all inclusive. And I never thought about that aspect with the Farrelly brothers and making sure that everyone is represented in some way. I really did enjoy seeing that they gave everyone an opportunity just to be actors who happen to
Right,
have a disability, you know?
they're not calling attention to anything. It's just, oh, okay, that
No.
actor has this role. It is
Right.
what it is.
And that is how I think it should be, you know?
Yeah, completely.
And
William
yes.
H. Macy too.
He's good. He's good. And you know, there are a lot of like one-liners that will always stand out to me. Like there's one line I'm just gonna, and I don't usually remember lines to movies, but one of the guys is asking John Cena's character, "You're a raging alcoholic. How do you stay so cut and buff?" And he's like, "Steroids." Just like plain and simple, just steroids. Yeah, I abused those too. I got addicted to those as well. So there are some laugh out loud funny moments. It does drag on a little bit for me. But I think that if you're okay with it, I consider this a guy's movie. This is, you know, I don't like to say chick flicks and guys movies, but this one I'd throw into the guy movie category.
No question.
Okay.
And I think they embrace that.
I think they do too. They are guys. It's all good. What do you want to talk about next?
Let's see. Well, let's talk about one that I'm surprised you don't like.
Oh, okay. What?
Damsel.
Oh, Vesemir. Okay. All right. Let's talk about Damsel. And I think I know why you liked it so much. I'm going to ask you a question about it before I review it.
Right.
Did you watch this with your son, Grant?
No.
Oh, okay. I know that Grant, and I hope, I don't know, does Grant listen to our podcast?
Are you kidding? No.
Okay. All right. So I know Grant has a huge crush on Millie Bobby Brown. And so I think in your mind, like you tell me anything with orphans in it, I gravitate toward and I really like. I think anything with Millie Bobby Brown in it or Kate Winslet, you automatically like, whether or not it should be up there.
I will say this. If it weren't for Millie Bobby Brown, I probably wouldn't like this movie. Not just because she's Millie Bobby Brown. I think the young lady is very talented. I think that she has a sense of conviction here that made me buy this. I liked this character. And if
Really?
that hadn't happened, I'd have been checked out.
I got
What
checked
didn't
out.
you like about her?
I felt like she was mugging for the camera a lot. I think okay. that her personality, her acting has changed as she has matured, and I'm not so mm-hmm. sure that it's gotten better. I think actually she's starting to mug for the camera, which I didn't like. For those of you who don't know, this is streaming on Netflix, and I will, Millie Bobby Brown plays this damsel who's in a poor village.
Princess.
Oh,
a
I'm
princess.
Sorry.
She's not a damsel.
All right. She is a princess, and she has been betrothed to a very wealthy family, a royal family on the other side of town or wherever it might be.
Aria.
Thank you. You know what? That just made me think of pee. So I think I blocked that one out. Urea, whatever. So her family travels to Aria to have the wedding, and there is a hefty price for being a bride so the family can be rich again and they can save their townspeople. So they marry her off to this handsome young man, the prince, and his mother, the queen, is played by, I'm blanking on her name, help me out here, Robin Wright.
Robin Wright, irony in casting as the princess bride, Robin Wright.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that. Yes, you're absolutely right. And interestingly, Angela Bassett plays Lady Bayford. She is, Elodie is Millie Bobby Brown's character. She is Elodie's stepmom. Well, Daddy, played by Ray Winstone, marries her off and they go on their merry way. Well, come to find out, there's a folklore that is a reality of this dragon, this mommy dragon, who centuries ago, these horrible people came in and killed her three yet soon to be born dragon babies. And now there's a price to pay. Now the wealthy royal people have to sacrifice a young princess of royal blood to the dragon every so many years. So
no one can sense the disdain in your voice, Pam. No one.
So as her young Prince Henry, played by Nick Robinson, is carrying her across, I won't say the threshold because this is one hell of a threshold.
No, it ain't no threshold, no.
He chucks her over and down to what should be her death. But she apparently can fall, 50, 60 feet. And she comes
branches out. Were stopping her fall. There was a lot of branches.
And I want to know, what is that makeup that she uses? My God, the lip gloss stayed on and her eyelashes stayed perfect.
Wow. Wow. We are picking this one to death. Jesus.
You know what? It was distracting to me how much better her makeup got as the events went on. It was
That's
distracting.
That's not true. She was all grubbed up by the end.
Oh, no. Her lip gloss was still perfect. Her eyeliner was still in place. And that's distracting to me. I'm sorry. It pulled me out of the movie. And then her mugging for the camera was absolutely there. I watched it with my friend Kristen. She and I both agreed.
Oh, well, and when you two gang up on a movie, it's all over.
It is.
We
can be kind of evil. This is very, very true. Yeah. This is a very predictable movie. This is there is very little dialogue there. There is very little depth to any of the characters here. Everything was predictable. Everything was so predictable that Kristen and I were shouting out what the next line was going to be, and we were spot on. And then we called out exactly what was going to happen. The only reason I watched the entire movie was to make sure that I was right with everything. And by God,
so
I was right.
You were able to predict the team up that happened at the end.
The team up. What team up? Oh, yes, I did. I called that earlier, actually. I thought it would have happened much earlier because we're talking about women. And what do women do? Women talk. Women talk.
Tear apart movies together?
Yeah, we tear apart movies together. But no, women talk. Kristen and I both predicted that would have happened a little bit earlier and we would have seen a little bit more revenge earlier on.
So this female bonding that occurs in the film did not appeal to you and help separate it from the pack.
Too late. Too little, too late. It was too much of a guy movie. Again, fight, 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 fall, 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 fight, fight, fight. It was dull to me. It was repetitive and dull. There could have been a lot more to it. And I was checked out. If I hadn't invited Kristen over to watch it, And no, I was not drinking wine while I was watching it. I would have turned it off and gone to bed.
Okay.
And so there we go.
Two things. It's not that bad. Secondly, your contention that anything with her or Kate Winslet gets a positive review for me. I don't know if you watched the first episode of The Regime on Sunday night with Kate Winslet.
I did.
She's wonderful. There's problems with the show.
Oh, there are a lot of problems.
We're going to have to wait and see where this thing heads.
Yeah.
She's fantastic, though. She's playing a part that she's never played before, this insecure woman. She's going to be the only reason I end up watching the rest of this. And also the fact that Hugh Grant's going to pop up at some point.
Oh, is he? Okay.
Yeah. But the show, it's going to be interesting to see if it can right that ship. So we'll see what happens.
We'll see. You know, a lot of times the first episode, that pilot, is a little sluggish for a lot of different series.
They have to set everything up.
Yeah. Yep. And maybe it'll come full circle and we'll enjoy it. But I will continue because of the star power. I will continue. But I wasn't hooked, I got to tell you.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I agree. I agree.
What else we got on the agenda for this week, Chuckster?
I don't know. I wrote so. Oh, I don't. Oh, gosh. You know, I wrote so many reviews so quickly. I am a little bit dazed. Oh, Cabrini. Don't we have Cabrini?
Okay. I did not get a chance
to
watch.
What else do you have on your list?
I have American Dreamer on my list.
Okay. I'm going to do Cabrini real quick. Cabrini is from Angel Films. They did that runaway hit, Sound of Freedom, from last year. This is another new film. It's about Saint Cabrini. If you're from the Chicago area, you know the name, Cabrini Green. But you might not know anything about her. I knew very little. She was the first American-born saint. Very first one. And once you watch this movie, you understand why. Italian. She's from the Catholic Order. She comes over to the slums of New York to help with the Italian immigrants there. She ends up building orphanages. She ends up getting money together to buy hospitals and run hospitals for immigrants. She spreads her work to Chicago. This woman was a force. An absolute positive force. I mean, it's incredible what she did. And it's one of those things where if it weren't true, you'd say, wait, no, there's no way that this all could have happened. But it did. The woman is named Cristina Dell'Anna. She's an Italian actress who plays Mother Cabrini. And boy, she is just a force to be reckoned with. I'm not going to go in too deep with this film, but you and I, you know, we both have problems with faith-based movies. They're often, you know, very obvious, very ham-fisted. You know, they put the sentiment on with a trowel. This is guilty of that at times, but the fascination of the story, I mean, just kept me hooked.
Okay.
John Lithgow pops up as well. He's the mayor of New York at this time. And he stands in opposition to a lot of the things that he does because there's a lot of prejudice towards immigrants at this time. They're trying to get them out. Again, you know, some things never change. So he adds something to it. I'm not the only one. This is trending at 87% positive on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
So it's not just a faith-based thing, but it's a historical film as well. And I was really surprised by how much I liked it. And it's 2 hours and 25 minutes.
Oh,
and
wow.
I stuck
okay.
with it.
All right.
But yeah, pretty good. Pretty good film.
The title appealed to me because in my former life, I was a speech language pathologist. I worked with a 0-3 early intervention population, and I used to do home visits in Cabrini Green.
You didn't go by yourself, did you?
No, I went with one other person, a nurse. She and I went together. I also went to the Robert Taylor Projects. So it was that appealed to me just because I have that background of knowledge of going in there. So I wanted to learn a little bit more about who Saint Cabrini was, and I will get around to seeing this movie.
She was something.
And then John Lithgow, whenever I think of him, I'm going to post the picture that the photographer at the Critics' Choice Awards took of me with John Lithgow. He was not very nice. So for him to play the mayor of New York and being kind of an asshole, I think kind of fits.
Yeah, I had a selfie with him too that night. He was not happy.
Well, downright mean to me. And so the face that I made, the photographer caught. It's a pretty funny picture. I will post that on Facebook.
I don't remember that picture. Yes, so please post it.
I will. I will. So the only other movie that I have on board is American Dreamer. Did you end up watching that, Chuck?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and take that because I think I might have liked it a little bit more than you did.
I think you did.
Okay. We've got the quintessential American dream. We all want it. We all want to attain it, but most of us don't. And that's kind of what American Dreamer is about, is this professor, his name is Phil, and it's played by Peter Dinklage. And he's at a small university. He's got kind of a shit life, and he lacks respect from others, but I think he also lacks respect of himself. He barely makes ends meet. He's living in a shithole. I mean, he's got a crappy car. He's treated poorly by the rest of the staff. He has a really bad parking space, which is actually that comes up throughout the entire movie, which is kind of funny. He wants nothing more than to live a different life. And he has these dreams, and we're privy to these dreams. He has these beautiful women who fall in love with him, and he has these conversations with them. And it's kind of like a therapy session, if you will. And he also has a best friend from high school who he is still in contact with, named Dell, played by Matt Dillon. I love Matt Dillon. This is somebody who I will watch a movie because Matt Dillon is in it. And Matt Dillon is a bit of a superficial asshole. He's very successful. And the two of them, Phil and Dell, are talking, and Phil finds in the want ads an ad for buying this mansion, this beautiful mansion on the water. And it's too good to be true. It's a bargain basement price. But of course, there's a catch to it. And the catch is that he has to live in the servants' quarters or the guest quarters until the old lady dies. And then everything goes down to him. This old lady is played none other than by Shirley MacLaine. And she and Dinklage together, I think, are priceless. It's hilarious to see their interaction because she is a spitfire. She's an actress who's been around for a long time, and she knows what she's doing. And I love seeing her on the screen. She doesn't hold anything back, and you can tell that she's really having fun with her role as she gets to know Peter Dinklage's character of Phil. She has total disdain for him until she gets to know him a little bit, and he ends up, ironically, saving her life. I like that this is a look into the rearview mirror of life from Shirley MacLaine's character's perspective. And we see what's important in life. And I think it sends a really beautiful message. And I laughed. I laughed out loud. It felt believable in many aspects. And I think that's where you're going to have the issue with this film. But I really enjoyed these characters, a little bit over the top, but a lot of fun. Danny Pudi is there, and he plays Phil's boss, and he's the one who makes sure that Phil does not have a parking space at the school. Danny Glover is in this, and as I said, Matt Dillon. They all have their own signature style of comedy, and I think they really add to this. The script is good. I think that these actors elevate it. I had a lot of fun. It's full of heart and hope. And like I said, it reminds us what's important in life. And we're going to laugh a little bit. And I even cried at the end. Chuck, why did you hate it?
What's important in life, obviously, is getting laid by incredibly beautiful woman that you would never have a chance to. I'm going to pick this one apart the way you picked away a damsel.
You go
He's
for
in
it.
bed. He's in bed with these women who are tens, nines and tens. Are you fucking kidding me? And he's able to get them all sucked in emotionally and physically. I didn't buy it for a second. The other thing, this is based on a true story that apparently was on This American Life, I believe,
Oh,
on
that I
NPR.
didn't know.
And the movie, and I can't find it. I can't find the episode. I can't find the real story, no matter how much I've looked. The movie made me want to actually find out what really happened. Because I'm sure that they took liberties to it, because it is a fascinating story, this whole thing of him getting this incredible mansion. Just by, living in it until she dies. I mean, it's out of a Capra movie. So I really wanted to know what the actual facts were.
Now,
I thought it was.
I had heard about something very similar, but the real story, I don't know if this is a story you might be referring to, is the fact that this older woman lived on and on and on, and the guy who was living in the house died before she did.
Oh,
So
that's interesting.
I don't know if that's the true story that you're thinking of, or maybe this happens more often than we think.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I'm sure it does. One thing I did want to mention, you did mention Danny Glover's in it as a private investigator. He's got two or three really good scenes. I was bored by it after a while.
Really?
I thought it drug a little bit. I couldn't get over the fact that this guy, his sex life, I didn't buy it for a second. Again, Matt Dillon, he must have saved his money. He doesn't work often enough. You're right. Every time I see him, I go, okay, let's sit down. What's he doing now? I didn't realize he was 60 years old either. He doesn't look
Right.
it. And Shirley MacLaine, wow, she still can bring it. I mean, she still got it. I mean, I don't know if she's 90 yet, but she's got to be close. I mean, she really
Oh,
is
yeah.
able to, she still has that presence. But when you're a movie star like that, I guess you never lose that. It was okay.
Go ahead,
Go
I'm
ahead.
sorry.
No, I was just going to say in the end, I thought it was okay. It just could have been more for me.
You mentioned the fact that there's no way that Peter Dinklage is going to get a 9 or a 10.
I've seen his wife. Yes, I get it. I know.
I have no idea who he's married to, but I wanted to pull up the fact that how many comedies, how many movies out there is the guy maybe a 3 or a 4 and the wife or the girlfriend is a 9 or a 10? It happens a lot, like 90%.
I agree with that, but this is based on a true story.
Okay. All right. I will give you that. I looked past that. I did not know that it was based on a true story, but that one story that I just mentioned did come to mind when I heard what the story was. So yeah, I'm looking it up right now, and it says it's based on This American Life, an NPR show, and I can't find what the real story
In the
is.
episode or whatever, I'd love to listen to it. I can't track it down for some, and that's I find that odd in the era of the interwebs, that I can't find something,
I know, right? Especially an NPR thing. I will look that up and see if I can post that
Exactly.
on our site so that we can take a look at it.
Yeah, I'd like
And
that. Thank you.
yep, no problem. Do we want to do a quick little wrap up of Dune? Because we missed our podcast last week when Dune opened.
I guess the only thing I would say is it's better than the first, and I like the first. I know you didn't. And I would also say, see this in a movie theater. This
Yeah.
is a movie made, I don't care how big your screen is at home, I don't care. You've got to see this in a movie theater. And also, it helps the movie industry stay afloat in order to make big screen spectacles like this. We don't get these types of movies anymore. So please run to the theater, see this on the biggest screen you can.
I really enjoyed this. I thought the symbolism was incredible with religion. I thought historical aspects of how we never change politically, religiously. I thought it was brilliantly done. And my husband went to go see it in the theater, and I was going to go, but it didn't start until 8:30, and it's a 3-hour movie, so it was past my bedtime. But I would have gone to see it a second time, and you know me, I don't go see movies for a second time very often, and I did not like the first one. It is a it's just cinematically stunning. It is a cinematic masterpiece in telling a story. But my husband was telling me that he's read all the books, so and he saw the first Dune. Back from 1984, something like that, and he was it's kind of like the author was able to see into the future, but actually look backwards and know that we are not going to change as a people. I thought that to
No.
be quite prescient. So I
Yeah.
enjoyed it. I agree. Go see this in the movie theater. Do know that it's a long movie. It's a little bloated in places. I think some editing could have been done. But overall, if you know the story and you do need to know the story, and if you didn't see the first one, I wouldn't recommend seeing the first one, but I would recommend talking with someone who can give you the lowdown on what happened in the first one.
Well, I watched the first one again the night before we went and saw the second one, and it really helped.
Okay.
It really did help. And here's hoping the next one, the third book in the second book in the series, is made, because it really wraps things up. The story takes an incredible turn, and Villanueva did say that if he makes it, it'll be about 5 or 6 years, because he wants the actors to grow into. He wants Chalamet to appear older, because the character in the book does appear older as well. So here's hoping that he'll be able to pull that off.
Okay, and I'm really looking forward to seeing who the sister is and how she plays out. My husband was telling me about what happens in the book, so I'm excited about that.
Well, we
And
already know who the sister is.
we do, but I want to see who she becomes as a character.
Yes, it's significant.
Right. And then
Yeah.
I also, you had mentioned something about, I love the Reverend Mothers. I would love a whole story on the Reverend Mothers. And you said they are contemplating that. Is that correct?
No, it's not a contemplation. It's being filmed right now.
Is it?
They want to premiere this in the fall on HBO. They're doing a whole series based on the what is it, the Bene Gesserit,
Right.
I call them witches.
Yeah,
You
they
know,
are.
the witches that call the shots here, you know, it, on the world of Dune. Yeah, the series is supposed to take place. It's called Dune Prophecy.
Okay.
And it's supposed to take place 10,000 years before Dune, give us the history of these characters, of these women, and how they come to have the power they do. It's going to be 6 episodes. They've already filmed two. Like I say, it's going to be out this fall sometime. In addition to Emily Watson, Olivia Williams is in it as well, and Mark Strong.
Oh, really? I love him.
Yeah, so strong cast there, some big names, and if it's done with the intelligence and scope that the films have been, it should be something.
I wonder, and I don't remember the exact year that Dune takes place. It's 10,000 something. So if it's supposed to take place 10,000 years before, is that going to take place at 0 AD, or is that going to take place in our timeline? That'd be
I don't
interesting.
know.
I'm looking forward to that.
It would be interesting if it's like at the t if it starts like in our timeline.
Exactly.
See them walking around in things that were contemporary, and then go in the future. I'm not quite sure how it's all going to be set up, but it should be a lot of fun.
All right. You're really good at keeping track of when stuff like that happens. So please let me know and let our listeners and viewers know when that comes out. I definitely want to put that on my list.
You bet.
All right. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Real Talk with Chuck and Pam. That's REEL Talk with Chuck and Pam. And you can find our reviews. We'll be on CBS 58 and Racine and Me next week. That's out of Milwaukee. So watch us there. Check out our reviews on realtalkwithchuckandpam.com and Facebook and sometimes Instagram, but never TikTok.
That's right, it's in our contract.
It's in our contract.